testimony service. But what is the more? What's the better word for that, Casey? He's very precise. How many of you, he was your pastor at one point? He's very precise, isn't he? Okay, so we read the Bible every morning at 5:30. Now, when you read the word, you need to let it be able to get up in that heart, and your heart and your mind and your whole self, you got to understand what you're reading. So there was this one time. Now, if we didn't read something right, we read it again and again and again and again. Now, these days, people wouldn't even mess with that with their kids because they can't stand to be around their kids that long to make them do something right the first time. But he wasn't like that. He liked to be around his kids. When we got off of the school bus, he wanted us to sit down with him for about 30 minutes. He wanted to ask each one of us how our day went. He was involved in our life. And we read the Bible. Now, that didn't kill me, and it was good for me, okay? But we read it at 5:30 in the morning. I don't comprehend a lot of stuff until about 9 o'clock in the morning. And one time we were reading, and how many of you know that when you can, a whole word, just one word can change the meaning of whatever it is you're saying? We just did. Brother Charlie's awake. We just did. And Dad's awake. So we were reading, Lori, and I said, I was reading, and we said they were all filled with indigestion. And he said, read it again. I read it again. They were all filled with indigestion. I read it about 5 times. And then Casey started snickering. And she goes, you're a real idiot. That says indignation, not indigestion, and we've got to wrap this Bible study up. Well, I thought it was indigestion, which is way different from indignation, okay? So we need to understand what we're reading out of the Word of God. Because when you can understand it, you can plant it. You can live on it. You can claim it. You can apply it to your life, and you can stand on that word. So when the pastor gets up here and they read you Psalms chapter 89 and verse 15, I'm going to read it to you again. It says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. When I'm reading that, I'm going, what does acclaim mean? Here's what it means. To praise enthusiastically and publicly. To praise enthusiastically and publicly. So the word says, blessed are those who have learned to praise him enthusiastically and publicly. That's what that verse is meaning. You're blessed when you do that. There's a lot of Christians, and they don't have any blessing of God on their life. The blessing of God isn't real prevalent, and it's because they don't have time for God. They're only with God when it suits them or they're in trouble. And let me tell you something. If you're in trouble in here this morning, you're in the right spot, because I'm not telling you not to come to God when you're in trouble. I'm come to God all the time. But you can have something more if you'll develop a relationship with him that's ongoing. And the word says that you're blessed. Blessed are those who have learned. You have to learn how to praise him enthusiastically. During the pandemic, when we could finally get back in the church building, and I had moved all the chairs and with the measuring tape, tried to get everybody 6 feet apart and get the sanitizers and the sanitizer, I bought $200 worth of sanitizer, Mikey, that smelled like BO. And all this stuff, all that stress. And I went to the back of the church after the service, and somebody cornered me, and they said, Pastor, I just want you to know that during praise and worship, so-and-so was singing, and their mask was not over their nose. I don't even wonder why I've gained like 20 pounds, because it's just the eating past what I want to say and I can't. But we have to learn how to praise Him enthusiastically. When we come up into here, and you shouldn't just be praising God in church, okay? When you're in your car, when you're in the bathroom, when you're in wherever, praise God. But when you come up into church and you're going to have corporate worship, you know, that's the time to forget about your troubles for a moment. Give God 45 minutes of your troubled heart and mind and allow Him to come in and make some things better in your life. I used to, here's God is teaching me. I'm not arrived. I'm sure, I've heard Brother Larry say this, I'm sure that in 5 years from now, I'll listen to some of my preaching and I'll be like, oh, I've evolved. I listened to preaching 3 years ago and I think, man, I sounded really hacked. I was angry in a lot of my early messages. Why? Because things didn't happen the way I thought that they should. Was God still present then? Yes, He was. Yes, He was. But when we come up into here, we have to learn. See, there's a promise. You're blessed when you can learn how to publicly and enthusiastically praise God. A lot of people come up in here. I used to sit where Paul and Jill are sitting. For the past almost 4 years that I've pastored here, I used to sit right where you're sitting. And it would be a distraction for me because as the pastor, I'm worried, is people too hot? Is people too cold? What's going on? Is everybody okay? And I would see everybody. And a few weeks ago, God said, you're not sitting where I want you to sit. I want you to sit at the front and lead these people. And I don't need you distracted about what on earth is going on. Stop looking at everybody else and look at me and just praise me. That's what all of us should do. When you don't feel like it, I've had services this year where I felt like the last thing on earth I could do is just lift my hands and praise God because of just the weariness. But I'm going to tell you something. In your worst moments, if you can lift your hands and praise the living God, He's going to meet you right where you're at. There's a blessing in praising God. Praise Him publicly. Praise Him enthusiastically. That's a promise. And it also says, blessed are those who have learned to praise You enthusiastically and publicly, who walk in the light of Your presence. I've just told you, you know, God is present in your life. This verse says that you're blessed when you walk in the light of His presence. So many people, they don't know where God is in their life, and it's because they're not walking in His light. Pastor Kelly, why is my life so jacked up? I don't know. Well, is God in your everyday, or is He just in your Sunday when you feel like it? Where is God in your life? God is always present with you. And most people can't feel God. They're numbed over. We have to learn how to practice being in the presence of God. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm going to give you a couple steps that work for me. I can't preach about y'all because I'm not up in your houses with you, living with you. And trust me, that's a blessing for you. Me and Lulu are too much. Did y'all see her Christmas dress? Let me tell you something. On a side note, God knows the desires of your heart. Who all saw her in her Christmas dress yesterday? Okay, if you don't know who Lulu is my 2-pound chihuahua. And she is a diva. Well, when I drove away from the craft fair at the senior center, Jean, I said, Lord, I would really like another one of those dog dresses for Lulu, but I don't want to buy anything else. I've done spent too much money. I went home for 2 hours, and I sat down, and I got a phone call, and they said, Pastor Kelly, you need to come up here and pick Lulu out another dress. You got picked out. Well, guess what? Now she's got 2 Christmas dresses. But anyhow, as I was saying, what do we do to get in the presence of God? One of the things that I do is I get alone. I get alone. Some of us were around people so much that we feel uncomfortable when we just get a moment of peace. We're like, uh-oh, something's really wrong. Why am I not being bothered? Get alone. Turn off the TV. Get off of your phone. Stop thinking about the dishes in the sink. Stop thinking about whatever it is you men do outside or whatever. I don't know, but stop it. And just say, Lord, I'm here to be in your presence. And begin to talk and pray to God. Now, prayer, I hate to burst any bubbles, but prayer is not a problem list. Okay? Prayer is talking to God. Am I saying you can never tell God your problems? No, I want you to tell God your problems, and so does He. But see, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. There's a way to start that communication with God. Growing up, us girls, we knew how to work Him over. And what we would do is when we wanted something, we would never ask Him if we could have it when He was in a bad mood. How many of you can tell when people are in a bad mood? It's never a good time to ask them for something when they're in a bad mood. We would wait till He was happy. And then us girls, we would look at each other and we'd go, I think it's a good time. Then we'd ask Him for all the stuff we wanted. We usually got it. But talk to God. Talk to Him. Communicate with Him. Because He's present in your life. And the Word says that you're blessed when you walk in the light of His presence. Get on the same page as God. Get on the same page as Him. Amen? Let's go to Numbers chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 24. Jill, when she preached last Sunday night, and how many of y'all were here for Jill's message? It was great, wasn't it? It was very good. This is a place that she went to. And when she read it, it really touched my heart because for the first time, I've read this verse over and over and over. And sometimes, Duane, we can read things or we can hear things and we can see things, and they've lost their meaning because we've gotten used to them. And I'm asking you, if that's where you've found yourself in your life, shake that off. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, it says this right here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. God is about blessing, Tyler, His children, and keeping them. Now, when you think about this year, all the bad moments in it, when I think about it, Michelle, here's what I can say. God kept me. He kept me. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. God kept us. He kept us and He took care of us. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. See, any pastor that's going to preach to you a mean doctrine, they're not much of a pastor because, see, there's not a whole lot about God that's mean. God loves you. He really loves you. Am I saying you've got a free pass to do all the sinning you want to do? No. But when we're talking about God, his biggest characteristic is that he loves his kids. And it says, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I was sitting here Sunday night, and I enjoy thoroughly when somebody else is preaching besides me. I enjoy it. Because, Sherry, I get to just be one of the folks. I like to sit back, have my Bible, and I like to be ministered to. Could I preach every service the 3 days a week? Yeah. Would that be what was best? No. A lot of pastors get worn out because they're greedy over their pulpit. And you don't find that here because I'm not intimidated by other people that can preach. Amen. And so when Jill began to minister last week, and she said this, God just began to love on me, Jill. And I really appreciated your message. And when it said, the Lord turn his face towards you, I was sitting there, and I just began to talk to God. And he said, you know, Kelly, not one time this year did I turn my face away from you. Amen. Not one time. See, we always think when we mess up or our lives get messy or this happens or that happens, we always look at God and we're thinking, oh, God's mad at me. Or, oh, God's this or, oh, God's that. God is still loving on you. He still loves you. And he's not turning his face away from you. He's always turning it towards you. He's always looking, what can I do to be good to my children? How can I help them? How can I help them out of a mess that they've made? You know, this week, Carson was having some issues at school with another kid. How many of you love when your kid has issues at school? Me neither. And there came a point in that kid's little lecturing that I was giving him. I said, sit down on this couch and shut up. Okay? Because we're about to have a life lesson. All right? And I said, and here's the lesson. You can't do to people what they did to you. Because if you end up being that type of person, that's all you'll ever do with your life. You'll be tit for tatting your whole life, Carson. And see, you can't be a person of integrity and do that kind of stuff. So you're going to stop being petty and you're going to man up. Because I'm not raising anything other than a godly man, and you're going to man up and you're going to be the bigger man in this situation. And you're going to count this as a life lesson, because that's what it is. Because when you're 25 instead of 11, I don't want to sit here and get calls from you from the cops or anybody else. Make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. God is looking at people in this life right now, and he's saying, that person needs more of my peace. Can you accept the peace of God today? Can you just wholeheartedly say, you know what, God? I accept your peace. When all those thoughts come flooding in, how many of you, there's times throughout your week where if you're not careful, you'll have just a flood of thoughts that want to come in and worry your brain. Amen. You have to work at being in peace. And it's a job sometimes. It's a job. But the Word says that he turns his face towards us and that he gives us peace. So when you're experiencing all of life's troubles, at any moment in time, you can stop the narrative with that, and you can say, Lord, right now, I accept your peace in this situation. I just accept it and I receive it and I'm going to walk in it. The devil orchestrates situations all throughout our weeks, all throughout our days. He'll send people to steal our peace. He'll send this one and that one, see. But God does the same thing. God will do the same thing. He'll send somebody to say something to you. He'll send somebody to just be good to you. God is present in your life. Walk in His presence. Walk in His presence. Is His presence going to require you to do stuff that you don't want to do? Yes, it is. Is His presence going to make you change and be better? Yes, it is. But God is present in your life. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to look at verse 10 through 11. And it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." And in a world full of things that are so impersonal, have y'all ever realized how impersonal everything is? I started getting e-Christmas cards. I was like, what is this? It's like it's an e-card. Well, let me tell you something. Go to Walmart, buy some paper cards, and be personable. There's too much impersonalization that we accept. You know, a lot of times when I'm at Walmart and I'm feeling like I can be around society, Gene, I will avoid the self-checkout line. The other day, I went to Walmart in Ozark. Actually, yesterday. I ate Italian last night. Everybody's like, I want to know all of what Pastor does. Well, I ate manicotti last night and it was great. And there was all these self-checkout lines, and I, on purpose, went to a human. I was buying board games for Colton's class. And I come upon this little chick, and she was shocked that I was wanting her to wait on me instead of the self-checkout line. And she looked at me, she goes, "What are you doing?" And I go, "I came over here just specifically to have interaction with you." She was young. She was a young person. She goes, "Oh." I said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm just looking at pictures on my phone." She goes, "I'm not supposed to be doing that." I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell anybody." But God is present in your life, and He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. Stop going through a routine in your life and get personal. Because, see, the Word is personal to you. It says, "I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If you found yourself in a place in your life where you say, "God, I need your help with this," or "God, I don't know where my life is going in this area," or "Lord, I just don't even know what's going on." You know what? God knows what He wants to do with your life, and He's been present in your life, and it's time for you, when roll call comes every morning when you wake up and God says, "Are you here with me today?" You say, "God, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm ready to work this life that you've given me. I'm ready to fulfill my purpose and my calling." Be present with God. Be present with Him. And if you don't know what's going on in your life, find out. Find out. So many people, Jen, I'll be like, well, what's God doing in your life? Or what's this? Or what? They have no idea. That's a scary thing, to not know what is going on in your life. I ask my boys all the time, and Brother Mikey, you need to be asking yours, because it's never too early to ask. Even though they're like 1, 2, and 3, or however, I know they're like, ask them what they want to do with their life. Because you know the world is full of like 30, 40, 50-year-olds. They still don't know what they want to do with their life. That's a problem. That's a big problem. We were at the Christmas concert with my niece, Bella. And Bella's getting all grown up, and she's in the choir. And Aunt Kelly is so proud of Bella, I can hardly stand it. And she's just a beautiful girl. I was praying the boy that was being mean to her at school wasn't there, because I was ready to line him out. I didn't see him. But we had like a 4 or 5 course meal at this choir concert, and it was great. It was really something. I mean, I was impressed by these kids that put on this big production. I was like, this is amazing that kids do this. Now, I'm not an adventurous eater. I like to stick to the basics. Chicken strips, mashed potatoes, macaroni. We'll stick with some things that I know, because I never know how something's going to set with me, and I don't want to find out and it be a surprise. We're going to stick with what I know, okay? So we start getting this frou-frou stuff. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go with this, God. First thing, it was okay. And these little kids, they started coming around with pictures of stuff. And I had already gotten my tea, so I'm thinking, what are they trying to give me now? It was something called wassail. Anybody else know what that is? Good, because I felt real dumb. It's hot. It's a hot beverage with herbs in it, and it tastes like apples. And they give you this little teacup, and they had a song about wassail, so that's why they were serving wassail. Very original. And they said, ma'am, do you want some wassail? I said, I sure do. And I gave them a little teacup, and as she was pouring it, I said, what exactly is this that you're fixing to feed me? She goes, I have no idea. So, Frank, being the intelligent person that he is, he doesn't eat or drink stuff that he doesn't know what it is. He said, hold on, Kelly, hold on just a minute. I'm going to Google this for you, sweetheart. And he Googles it. He goes, here's what you're about to partake in, if it's going to sit well with you. But you need to know for yourself how present that God has been with you. And you darn sure need to know for yourself what this says about your life. You've got to know it. You've got to get into the Word. If you don't get into the Word, you're going to be caught off guard with life's troubles, and you're not going to know what to do about them. And I'm trying to teach you today that God is present. He's not left. He's there. And he's ready to help you. You haven't gone too far. Whatever happened for you in this year, if it was good or bad or indifferent, look here. You're about to start a brand new year. Start into it with some purpose. Next place for me is Zephaniah chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17. And it says this right here, the Lord your God is with you. The Lord your God is with you. It's high time that all the people that claim to be Christians begin to take their relationship with him very personal. Personal. I was telling God this week, Lord, I'm not concerned about this or this or this. God, let's just talk about Kelly. Because that's all I need to know is, Lord, what would you have me to do? I ain't going to worry about Sally Sue. You know how hard it is to not worry about Sally Sue when you're a pastor? Yeah, worry about everybody. Brother back here was sick last week, and all week I was thinking, I hope he is okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I'm going to get his number and make sure the next time that he is all right. I worry about everybody, and that's not like a real good trait. But we have to make it personable. It says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. He is mighty to save, and he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. How do you get in the presence of God? Get quiet. Get quiet. Put your ears back. Let him talk to you. Get quiet. There was a lot of times this year where it didn't look good. I had very intelligent people say, well, that's never going to work out, or you won't get that, or you this, or you that. And I thought, well, that would be an acceptable answer if I weren't a child of God. And I went back to the drawing board and I said, God, what do you say? Now, this person over here is saying this, but God, what do you have to say about it? What do you have to say? And Jill, God told me every time, Kelly, I'm going to sustain you. Kelly, I'm going to work that out. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what I say. Get in his presence and hear what he has to say about your life. Hear what he's got to say. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. One of the things that makes me fall in love with God every time I stop and realize just how good he is this right here. There's so many places and churches and pastors and denominations that they want to preach to you that you got to have it all together to be able to do this or that, or to be able to come into church and be accepted and all that stuff. And see, that's just not what the Word says. A while back, somebody says, I don't want to go to church. Everybody's all messed up inside of there.
Glory to God.
Amen. Yes, they are. Come and be a part of it. People have the dumbest excuses not to come to church. They just really do. And at the end of the day, they're just excuses. And I love this about God, because he says, there's no qualification, because at our worst, Sherry, he loved us then. At our very worst, when everything was messed up, when we acted up, when we messed up. Here's how present that he was, and it says this right here. But God demonstrates his own love for us. See, not the angel's love, not your mama's love, not anybody else's love. God himself demonstrated his love for you specifically while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So the love of God that makes him so present in our life, it's demonstrated over and over and over and over. You know, one of the people that I'm extremely, extremely proud of and proud to say, man, that person goes to Parish Christian Center is Tyler. And I am very proud. Very proud of you, Tyler. I don't think I could ever really tell you how proud of you I am, because I couldn't do it without crying. But when you can look back at this whole year, when you can look back at your whole life, can you see just how present that he was in the whole thing? Doesn't mean we didn't struggle. Doesn't mean we didn't fall down. We did. But God is still present. He still will show up in your life over and over and over. And not only will he show up, but he will demonstrate. He'll show you. He'll show you what to do. He'll show you just how much that he loves you. Not because we deserve it. Not even because we've earned it. But just because he loves us at our worst. Through thick and thin. He loves us through all of that stuff. And he is present. Last place for me this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 16 through 18. And I'm going to go away from my notes for a minute because I want to hit on something. Guys in the sound booth, put on there for me. Let's start 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17, or actually 18. There's times in our lives, Sherry, where things get to looking bad or they get hairy looking, and it's because other people are involved. Maybe somebody that's hurt you. Maybe somebody that's done you wrong. Maybe somebody you can't forgive, or this or that. Maybe it's that coworker that gets on your nerves. There's so many things about other people that we can't really control. And we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged about other people that we can't control, we start looking around and we're saying, well, God, where are you? And it says this right here. And this is Paul. And he's saying, Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. There's people in your life. You don't need to go into next year still holding that grudge against them. You need to let it go. Does God know they did you a lot of harm? Yes, he does. Nobody gets away with anything, okay? It says, Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. But he separates it and he says, the Lord will repay him for what he's done. Not me. The Lord will. Angel, when we can make a separation between what's right, what's wrong, who this and who that, has people done you harm this year or hurt your feelings or been awful to you? I'm sure they have. But you don't got to keep that personal. He said, this person, yeah, they did me harm. But right now, I'm going to scoop that out of my heart. God will repay them, not me. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. There's going to be times in your life where you're alone or you feel like you're alone. Where all the people that said that they were going to be with you, Gary, there's times where you're just, they're not. And it hurts. It says, may it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and he gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed. And all the Gentiles might hear it and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me to safely his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. What does it say here? It says, the Lord will rescue me from every single attack. Every one of them. There's things that what we need to do is write them off and leave them in this year. Start next year. Start it without grudges. Start it without unforgiveness. Start it without those things. Why? Because God's turning his face towards you. He's with you. He's present with you. If God's with you, who can be against you? If God's helping you, can anybody really unravel you? No, not really. I'm going to ask y'all to stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to pray. If you have a child in one of these classrooms, I'm going to apologize to you because I made sure they were good and sugared up today. I got them sugar cookies with like this much icing at the top of them. They're going to be probably pretty terrible for you this afternoon. But go back there and help your teacher, help your kids' teacher clean up the classroom because it's probably been like a zoo back there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every person, Lord, that's heard your word. God, let it be planted and God, let it grow, Lord, into a beautiful life that you have for them. And God, I thank you right now that you've turned your face towards us. So God, we give you every worry, every stress, every grudge, every bit of unforgiveness. And God, I ask you right now, Lord, to have your hand upon us and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.